Joining me now, before we go to Alex Newman for a conversation that's also going to blow your mind, but we have a brand new guest, a first-time guest tonight, who comes to us through former Pfizer employee Karen Kingston. Her name is Brooke Jackson. She's a whistleblower, and she's going to, well, tell you some things tonight you're probably not going to hear anywhere else. Brooke, welcome to Lindell TV. Thank you for joining us.
Thank you for having me. Sorry, I had to join over the telephone. I've lost internet connection, and I appreciate it very much. I was going to ask you, how are the slippers?
Oh, I were. Are you kidding? They're amazing. They're next to my bed right now. It's hard to explain. You have to experience it. It's a soybean technology. I don't understand that part of it, but hey, it is amazing. I have had bruised heels and feet off and on for years, and so I'm very sensitive to walking without shoes on or tennis shoes on. These slippers are amazing, but the great thing about them, Brooke, is the soles on them are so thick, you could have a pair that you walk outside with, that you walk around with. So you can have your inside pair, and you can have your outside pair. All I can say is, Brooke, once you try them, you'll never wear another pair of slippers other than my pillow slippers.
Right. That's awesome. Well, I see the commercials, and I've always wondered. I wonder how they are. So well, I heard you mention it. I thought I'd ask, so that's good to know. But thank you for having me. I appreciate it.
Yeah. Well, tell us your story, because you have some very interesting things. I'm just going to give you the floor. Tell us what you know and what we should know.
Well, I know that you don't have very much time left. What do we have, about an hour?
No, for the whole show, we got less than an hour. We got our next guest coming up at about 8:30.
Okay. Well, so to tell the full story, to be honest, Brandon, we'd need hours and hours. So I'll just go over my experience really quickly. I've been a clinical research professional for going on 20 years now. I've worked at the site level. I've worked at the site level mainly, and all phases of clinical trials and medical device and biotechnologies. And in the fall of 2020, I started at a site organization called Ventovia Research Group.
What was it called? Ventovia?
It's Ventovia.
Ventovia. Ventovia Research Group?
Yes, Ventovia Research Group.
And you were a regional director, is that right?
Yes, I was a regional director. I previously was a director of operations for a very similar company. So I went in with all these years of experience with, you know, a lot of my experience being in hepatology, gastroenterology, immunology, and vaccines.
And so just so I can get right to it, because I got an email from Karen. I said, Karen, what did she do at this group? She said, well, Brooke managed the data collection and adherence to the FDA laws for clinical trials. She sees the data before it's, quote, cleaned up, end quote, and ensures accurate, unbiased data is being submitted to the FDA. Whoa.
Right.
So my guess is you've seen some things before it was, quote, cleaned up. What does that mean, cleaned up?
Yeah, I've been working on a way to kind of simplify it for anybody that hears the story so that they understand. So Ventovia was tasked with enrolling and managing clinical trial patients as they were enrolled in Pfizer's vaccine trial. So from the moment a patient signs informed consent through the completion of the participation in the study, the site manages everything from serious adverse events that may have been experienced to the regular standard protocol study visits. So, for example, a patient would come into the site, to Ventovia, and have interest in enrolling in the study. And from that point, they would sign an informed consent after, they've been given time to go over that form, et cetera. I'd given time to ask questions, they would sign the informed consent. So from that point, we collect everything on this patient. The collection should tell the story from start to finish, that patient's journey in the study. Ventovia collected all of this data on paper. So when a patient would come in, everything's captured on paper, from time of that informed consent to their height, their weight, their physical exam. It's very detailed information that's collected on paper. And we call that source document, and sometimes you'll hear it referred to as raw data. So we collect this raw data on these paper worksheets or source documents, and after the visit is completed, then we would take that information and manually transcribe it into a database that's designed by Pfizer. And there is a point that when Pfizer gets the data, and before it's sent to the Food and Drug Administration, it's what we call cleaned. It's common terminology in my industry. We clean the data. And what that means, if there's a discrepancy in, let's say, a blood pressure that was captured on the paper to what was entered in the electronic data capture system or their database called EDC, those discrepancies are flagged and cleaned. And that's what I think a lot of people don't understand, is the data is perfected before it is sent to the FDA. And that cleaning process happens between the site and the sponsor, which in this case was Pfizer.
So does that mean that the report is not accurate?
In a lot of the cases that I've looked at, that's exactly what it means. But going back, to my time there, and it was brief, I've kind of been given a little bit of crap about this because I was only there for 18 days. But remind you, I've been doing this for so long, and it wouldn't have taken an expert with my years of experience to walk into Ventavia and realize what was going on straight away.
Now, why were you so you've been doing this kind of work for years, but you only worked at that particular place for 18 days?
Yes, that's correct.
Why only 18 days?
I was fired on the afternoon of September 25th of 2020, just a few hours after I filed a complaint with the Food and Drug Administration.
Ooh. What did your complaint say? Can you tell us?
Sure. I was fired under the pretext that I was not a good fit.
Well, what were you complaining about?
So the number one thing that I always go back to when I look at the FDA complaint, and this has kind of come up a lot, my email to them says in the very first sentence, "It is without hesitation that I am reporting subject safety concerns or patient concerns or participant." Those words are kind of used interchangeably. But safety concerns. One, we talked about a little bit before, the lack of informed consent. So Ventavia was so busy, and the clinic was very small. We only had about 5 exam rooms, and they were paid on a per patient basis mainly. So every patient that they enrolled into the clinical trial, they were being paid for. So two things. One, Ventavia was making millions of dollars. And two, Pfizer was able to enroll into their study as quickly as possible. And that was their goal. Their goal was to enroll in as quickly as they could, and be first to market. That's what it boiled down to. It was rushed. I'd never seen a study enroll like that before, and be mismanaged the way that it was.
And just so our audience is clear, this is for the COVID shot by Pfizer that you're reporting on, correct?
Yes, this was their pivotal phase 3 trial, the one where 16 and older to participate, and where they enrolled around 44,000 participants in total. So this was the main study.
So did you see anything that you can tell us about that just caused you great concern? I mean, I'm guessing you're seeing a lot of, I don't know, I'm kind of trying to figure out this whole scenario. Are you seeing a lot of patients' files that have gotten the shot during the trial?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, absolutely. In total, there were three separate clinical trial sites, so three clinics that were enrolling patients into the study. Each of the study sites enrolled approximately 300 patients in total. So yes, I mean, we were enrolling. We were one of the top enrollers, and actually Pfizer gave an award to Ventavia for their efforts in this particular study.
So what kind of adverse reactions were you seeing in the files from people that had the COVID-19 Pfizer shot?
There are so many adverse events and serious adverse events that I can't even list them all to you and, you know, be able to speak, you know, to each patient individually. There were so many, and I was really over the day-to-day operations. I managed the staff at the clinic, and when I started going through these charts from an auditor's perspective, I am certified clinical trial auditor, so I know how to look at these clinical trial documents or these source documents, these site-level documents, and look at them and determine what's going on. So when I noticed the lack of informed consent, I started to also notice that the signature on the informed consent on one page didn't match the next page where the patient had to sign. So immediately, I knew that there was forging of missed signatures happening. Fabrication of data. I would flag a data point that was missing. For example, let's just pick something. A temperature. Okay, the patient's temperature was taken, or in this case, was not taken, and that field, that data field, was just blank. So I would flag that, and a day or two later, I would go back and look at the same chart, and that data would all of a sudden appear.
Oh,
and
wow.
I knew that there's no way that patient could have come back because I was there. I know that patient didn't come back, and I knew where the chart was, so it was impossible. And
let me ask you, that's shocking in itself, but to make sure I understand, when you said the consent, the lack of consent, and then yet you saw a consent form signed where the signature didn't match, I mean, if this is a clinical trial, are these people not signing a form consenting to being a part of the clinical trial?
That's exactly what I'm referencing. So there was an informed consent that was approximately 20 plus pages of information that the patient needed to understand, from what the side effects potentially were to their responsibility in completing electronic diaries. So it's just a long form that takes quite a bit of time to go over thoroughly with these individual patients. And yes, forged informed consent, meaning the patient wasn't properly consented in the trial. That's huge. It's huge.
So some of these forms were not signed, true or false?
Some of them were not signed, absolutely true.
And then some you say were signed, but you think they were forged. How would you know they were forged? Did you actually at some point acquire the patient's real signature to compare it?
Well, we had the real signature from the demographics that we collected, and part of that demographic was a driver's license, for example, that we would make a photocopy of, so you could see that the signatures just did not match.
So are you saying that the clinical trials were not held to the normal standards for the FDA?
Absolutely, 100%.
Are you saying the trials were also rushed?
Yes, 100%.
Are you saying that the patients who took part in the trials were not properly notified as to the potential dangers and or the responsibilities of reporting back any adverse reactions to the drug?
Absolutely.
So are you saying that the FDA and our government rolled out a Pfizer COVID shot that should have never been on the market based on what are the government standards for by law for such vaccines or offering something to the public.
Absolutely. The Food and Drug Administration, the FDA, has known about this clinical trial fraud since I reported it to them in September of 2020, when I realized that they were not going to take any action and Pfizer was awarded, or excuse me, Ventavia was awarded with new contracts, were participating in the other vaccine candidate clinical trials. I decided with kind of the help of a group of attorneys to file a False Claims Act case. And when I did that in January of 2021, that case immediately went under seal. So for, you know, over a year, I have not been able to speak about this, this fraud in the clinical trial. Pfizer's vaccine is misbranded. There is willful intent in what I've been talking about, and this drug should not be given to anybody.
So
this drug, this vaccine, whatever it, however you want to classify it, this shot should be taken off the market.
From the FDA to corporations to groups involved in all the way up and down the line, are you saying there's criminal behavior?
That's exactly what I'm saying. Yes.
You said you've not, from the time you filed and worked with some lawyers and filed, you've not been able to talk about this. What do you mean? You're talking to us tonight. What do you mean you weren't allowed to talk about this?
So in the type of case that I filed, it's a False Claims Act case. When you file that type of action, it immediately goes under seal. And the reason that it goes under seal is that, or the reason they told me was that it allowed the government to... Or allowed the government an opportunity to investigate the clinical trial site, so Ventavia, the clinical research organization that was involved with them, which was ICON, and also Pfizer. So it was basically like a secret. So the defendants are not tipped off to the lawsuit. But that case, my case went under seal. I was gagged. I could not, by court order, speak about it.
Has that, obviously that's been lifted now because you're talking to us, right?
Right. Well, that changed after February. And the DOJ, the Department of Justice, HHS, all of them decided that they were not going to help investigate the case and declined to intervene. At that point, the case became unsealed, which allowed me to finally be able to speak about it.
Have you spoken on any other platforms or TV or radio shows about this?
I have. I warned my attorneys, my former attorneys. I now have new representation. But as I realized, you know, I mean, that False Claims Act case was filed in January of 2021, and nothing happened for over a year. They were supposed to investigate in the first 60 days. They didn't do it. So there was extension after extension requested. And as I watched this vaccine be rolled out to millions of people, and then the mandates come, and then they came after the children, I told my attorney, I have an email, if you think for 1 second that this vaccine is going to come after, you know, the age of children where mine fit in and me not come forward, you're crazy. I've been fighting you for this information to come out since you know, that initial 60 days expired.
You
haven't done anything.
Have you contacted Senator Ron Johnson's office?
Yes, I've met Senator Johnson. I've walked up to him and shaken his hand and looked in those big, beautiful blue eyes. He knows who I am. I've reached out to every elected official in the state of Texas. I have reached out to every mainstream media you can think of. I have tried to get this information out, and that's why I took my information originally to the British Medical Journal, and I did that in September of 2021, and they published a peer-reviewed article on November 2nd of 21, and that article immediately was censored by Facebook and slapped with a missing context label. You know, and my information just has not gotten out there.
So in the remaining 3 minutes I've got, and we're going to have to get you back, maybe I should get you back also with Karen Kingston at the same time. That would be a fascinating program.
Mm-hmm.
Are you?
Yeah, this is a long story. It's a complicated story. Clinical trials themselves are complicated, and I don't think a lot of, you know, people understand how the clinical trial process works, from the data being collected at the site to it going to Pfizer. Pfizer cleans it, and then the FDA gets it. The FDA will tell you on their own website that they rely on the data of the pharmaceutical company to determine whether or not the drug should be approved. Now, they have no idea what went on at the clinical trial site.
So in other words, if the FDA is relying solely on the drug maker's clinical trials, the drug maker could be completely lying to the FDA and they wouldn't have a clue.
Pfizer is completely lying and the FDA has a clue. They just don't want to tell anybody.
Well, the reality is, I have heard that there is a revolving door from the FDA to the drug company back to the FDA, FDA back to the drug company back to the FDA. There's this incestuous revolving door, and they all play along and get along, right?
Mm-hmm. Exactly, 100%.
And the ones suffering and dying are the American people. So there should be people brought up on murder charges, is that what I'm hearing?
Absolutely. There is proof, and this isn't my story, guys. This is data and internal documents, company documents, recordings, text messages from the owners of these companies and between Pfizer that I've provided to the United States government, and there has been no action taken.
Are you concerned about your safety, Brooke?
100%. Brandon, yes. I kind of, when I was texting you earlier, yes. That's a whole other story. There hasn't been a day that I reported my findings to the FDA that I haven't looked over my shoulder and wondered, what is Pfizer capable of? And as a matter of fact, Pfizer's own attorney, whose name is Mark Barnes, somehow found my personal cell phone number. And when I asked him over a text message after he repeatedly called me over and over again and I didn't answer his phone call, he texts me and he says, "Miss Jackson, my name is Mark Barnes. I'm Pfizer's attorney. I would like to speak with you about the clinical trial." And my first question back to him in the text was, "How do you know my name is Miss Jackson?" And he said he just assumed it. And I said, my next question was, "Okay, well then how can you tell me how you have my phone number too?" And he said he got it from somebody at Pfizer. And in September, before I was fired, and I actually spoke to him directly one day after I was fired, I spoke to a Pfizer representative, and I made an anonymous complaint. I never told him my name, never gave him any reason to believe that I was Brooke, and I was, you know, the regional director of Entavia Research Group. This was an anonymous call. But that's what Pfizer's attorney said, that he got my information from this person I made the anonymous complaint to.
I don't know if you've read the book by Robert F. Kennedy Jr. Have you turned any of this stuff over to Robert F. Kennedy Jr.'s organization?
Are you speaking about Children's Health Defense?
Yes.
Yes, they're aware as well.
I don't know if you've heard or read his book, but he says the CIA was involved in the October 2019 Event 201 that practiced for the, you know, pandemic.
Mm-hmm.
Do you, just your personal opinion, do you get the feeling that the intelligence community is heavily involved in this entire thing?
100%. Yes, I've spoken to whistleblowers that are involved in that situation, and I've been warned. And yes, back to the safety question. I worry every single day, and I don't know.
Brooke, are you suicidal?
Absolutely not.
Yeah.
Kind of why I've just been on this kind of crusade to get this information out.
You know why I asked you that question, right?
Yes, sir.
Okay. Yes, so are you here to testify tonight that you're not depressed, you're not suicidal, you're not beside yourself, that you are of sound mind? While you are concerned about your safety, you are of sound mind, and if anything happened to you, you would never commit suicide.
That is true. I have two children. I am happy. I'm, you know, just a soccer mom from Texas. I love clinical research when it's done right. And like I said, I've never seen anything like this before. And it's not just Brandon and Pfizer's study. It's in every single clinical trial that Ventavia is participating in. And as of September of 21, they were enrolling actively in over 40 clinical trials on pregnant women, children, our elderly. There is a focus, especially in COVID vaccines, to target our minority demographic and our frontline healthcare workers. And again, this isn't my information, okay? I really want to be clear about that. These are internal company documents.
Are you? I thought they didn't test this. Hadn't we been told, Brooke, that this wasn't tested on pregnant women?
It certainly has been tested on pregnant women.
But wasn't the public told? Wasn't the public told at one point this had not been tested on pregnant women?
I'm not aware of that.
What has been the results? Do you know what the results have been when it was tested on pregnant women?
I know some of the results. I am working on going through some of the newly released FDA documents and comparing those to the information that I've been given and that I have on what was collected from the site level at Ventavia. But it's very tedious work, and I just have not had a chance to go through all of them.
Does someone have all your data and backed up all your data somewhere else?
Absolutely.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
I've lost two computers, one work computer. They had to send me a new one. And one personal computer have crashed. My internet, my phone makes these weird creaky sounds. My passwords that I don't save to my computer are all of a sudden changed. And I didn't do that. There's little things, 100 little things that I can't even think of completely right now. But when I am talking about this right now and when I'm just sitting there thinking, I'm like, wow, that was weird.
All right,
nobody
Brooke.
Will listen.
Brooke.
No one was there to help me. Yes.
I want to have you back. I'd like to get you back when Karen could be with us as well. I think that'd be a fascinating conversation. I wish I had more time right now tonight, but I want to get you back if we can next week. And in the meantime, stay in touch with Karen and I. And if anything between now and the time I have you back on comes up, please let us know if we can help in any way. Please let us know. And we'll ask our audience to pray for you and pray for your family and your safety. And I thank you for being so bold and brave. But in closing, I ask this. What's the worst case scenario for the American people due to this shot?
It's happening right now. It's happening right now. And it's only going to get worse.
So when we are getting reports of people that had the shot a year ago that now all of a sudden have cancer and they're in their 20s, or they were healthy and fine, now they get the shot, now they got big tumors growing, is this part of it?
This information is coming out. Yes. I just have, Brandon, I could go on. I have three reports of cancer, and I have one death that wasn't reported by Ventavia.
What was that last sentence? You have what?
Sorry. I have information on one of the vaccine candidates where there are three incidents of cancer and one death that has not been reported. It may have been by now, but this was back, you know, this was a few months ago when I was given this documentation. And as I'm reading through it, it's scary. And I've been tempted to walk up to that clinic and hold up a sign and warn anybody that walks into that clinic, you're in danger. And I need.
You ever feel like Julia Roberts in the film Pelican Brief?
Yeah.
Something of a movie.
Mm-hmm. I feel like I'm living somebody else's life right now, for sure.
I bet you do. All right, we're going to ask our audience to pray for you,
for
protection, for peace. And again, thank you for your coming forward, for your bravery. And we will definitely be back in touch. We want to interview you more next week. All right.
That sounds great. Thank you, Brandon. I appreciate it.
Thank you, Brooke.
Stay strong.
You yes, too, Brooke. Let us know if you need anything. Folks, pray for Brooke. Pray for her safety. Pray for Brooke, will you? Wow.